Good morning. Thank you folks that have joined us today on this February the 6th, the year 2022. We're going to be studying with you today from the Genesis chapter 39 and chapter 40. So if you want to get your Bibles, and if you where you can, I don't want you, if you're driving that transfer truck down an 18-wheeler, don't you reach over.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll read the Bible correctly. I promise you that.
We'll be careful in our reading of it.
That's right.
But if you're sitting at home, got your feet propped up on the heater, and they don't do that anymore.
No.
But got your feet propped up on the register there where the heat comes from, well, then you get it, and you can see that we're going to read it accurately. And with God's help, we're going to interpret it accurately. And with God's help, we're going to present a message that is accurate. We're studying how to avoid life's pitfalls. Well, everybody needs that.
Amen.
Everybody needs to know that.
Don't we all need that?
Because there's pitfalls to the right, to the left, and front, and the back.
Satan's going to make sure there's pitfalls all around you.
Yes, sir. So you're going to need God's help to maneuver those things and to avoid the pitfalls that you can fall into that'll ruin you and ruin your testimony.
Amen.
And everything else. Today, we're still studying about Joseph. And we're going to be studying about the pitfall of injustice.
That ain't fair.
It wasn't fair. And you know, I've said sometimes, people hadn't always treated me fair.
That's right. Absolutely.
I'm just upset because everybody hadn't treated me fair.
You know, that's what we hear all the time on the news. I get so sick of it, people on the news hollering, you know, injustice. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of injustices mm-hmm. in the world. I do. But my goodness.
Excuse me, go ahead.
I want to hear some stories of thankfulness.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Praising God for thankfulness. Right. But anyway.
Well, that little girl on the television that advertises, I believe, AT&T,
mm-hmm.
and she gives those two little kids
that
come with their family, and she gives the little girl a little bitty sucker.
A little bitty sucker.
And the boy a big sucker. And the little girl said, "That ain't fair."
That ain't fair.
And so she swaps her big sucker for that little one. But she's got to learn, that little girl does, that everything in life is not fair.
Not always fair.
AT&T, sure. Maybe always. I
promise you, AT&T is not always fair either.
Well, I was going to correct that a little bit. For the last 2 months, I'll back up. About 6 months ago, my wife either lost her credit card or somebody stole it.
Oh, no.
So I stopped the account.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the only thing I have ever in my whole life had automatically withdrawn was my AT&T bill.
Yeah.
And it came out of
that
account.
It came out of that account.
And because I didn't have any others, it didn't even cross my mind, hey, you need to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first thing I noticed, I got a note saying, "Mr. Owen, you still have a balance on your AT&T account." So I said, "Oh Lord, they tried to get it out of that credit card account, and they won't let them have it."
Anyhow,
I called. There's a number on the back of your credit card, and I still had my credit card. I called that number and told them what I need to do was discontinue that automatic withdrawal. And I'd already, several days before then, sent them a check. It's got an address where you can send them a check to pay for it. And so I did. And they sent me a follow-up bill saying I was still had the balance. So I called them and I said, tell me what my balance is. And she said, "Well, it shows you don't owe anything except you're going to owe in the next 10, 12 days you know, the current bill."
Right, yeah.
And I said, "Well, I got one saying I still had a balance."
Yeah.
She said, "Well, we must have got your payment after the..."
Oh, yeah.
So she justified it. Well, Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, I got another one.
Uh-oh.
Two or three days ago. go through the same thing again. I set my check payment in 10 or 12 days ahead of the deadline. And still they're checking on it now to see what's happened on it. But
That might be the U.S. mail. I don't know.
I could be. And all this is this Christmas and all paying them, trying to pay for it. I'm not going to get riled up. I'm just going to stay with it.
I got a Christmas card in the middle of January this year. And it was mailed, the postmark and all was well before Christmas. And somehow it didn't get there. So, you know, it does happen. But anyway.
Well, it's happened to me two times in a row.
There you go.
That just ain't fair.
That just ain't fair.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about, is the pitfall of injustice. And we're still talking about old Mr. Joseph, the coat of many colors Joseph. And let's tell them who we are. And then I'll have prayer and you'll read scripture, Brother Mike. And we'll just have a good time studying about the pitfall of injustice.
That will do. I'm Mike Hall. I'm pastor of New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, Alabama.
And I'm Herschel Owen, and I'm not pastoring, but I am preaching, and I was pastoring until January the 19th. Is today the 19th?
Let's see, today the 19th?
No, today's February 6th.
Yeah, I'm thinking, no, we ain't got that far along. I ain't given my wife's Valentine to her yet.
Okay. Well, anyhow, on some of my notes that I had done, I had April.
There you go. Oh, mercy.
So I really had a sin of mad. But I fixed mine.
I'll get you an appointment with the doctor tomorrow.
Well, what I got, he can't help. But anyhow, injustice. But anyhow, if you don't get your Christmas cards in December, just wait till January.
That's right. They'll come sooner or later, and be just as pretty.
And somehow or another, those bills, they don't get lost in the mail.
They'll come, too. I can tell you they'll come, too.
Well,
yes, sir.
Well, anyhow, I'm still preaching the gospel and teaching and doing what I can. And y'all pray for Mike and myself as we do those things. We're going to be examining the third lesson under the title, How to Avoid Life's Pitfalls. And we continue looking at Joseph. Joseph was a fairly good boy, but he had a good case of the prides too, I think. He loved that coat of many colors.
Yeah, and I love the way the Bible gives us the good and the bad side of all the Bible characters, really. Everything from Abraham to David, to Joseph, anybody else,
Herschel Owen,
that's right, absolutely. So, you know, it helps us to understand and know, hey, you know, these people were not, you know, they were not superheroes.
Yeah.
They were, I guess they were heroes, but they were not above reproach, that they were not, you know.
They were
very capable. Yeah, they were very capable of the same kinds of sins and temptations that we are.
Well, that helps me, Mike, because if there was just a class that was couldn't sin
and
I'm outside of that, I'd say, well, my stuff's not so bad anyhow. It ain't my fault.
Right.
But it is my fault.
But it is my fault. Even to Jesus, who is our example to follow, the Bible says he was tempted yet like
without
as
sin.
We are. So, and yet without sin. And I love that because he's the one that I'm to follow and the one who died for me. But he's also the one that will be the measuring stick I'll be judged by.
Amen.
When I come before the Lord. So,
if there's anything you remember, makes no difference what lesson we teach. We're going to be teaching about Jesus.
Amen.
Because there is no other one. There is no other way.
That's right.
There is no other name under heaven whereby a man may be saved, a woman, boy, or girl either. So Jesus is not only the reason for the season at Christmas time, but he's the reason for salvation at any time that we get ready to let him forgive us of our sin.
Amen.
And that's since we don't know when we're going to die, well, life is uncertain.
No way to know. Yeah.
Let's do it today.
Amen.
Let's do it today. Well,
yeah, sure.
When we get into those situations that we'd rather not be in, like being treated unfairly, these challenges sometimes give us the opportunity to have an impact on other people for our Lord. This is what Joseph, with his committed life, did. He just wouldn't bend. He wouldn't bow. He wouldn't yield to that temptation that we talked about last week. We'll no doubt refer to again. But here he is. He's not done what they said he did, but he's in jail.
He's facing the same thing.
Serving.
A guilty man would.
Serving in jail.
That ain't fair.
It ain't fair. That's like the little girl said on AT&T commercial. It ain't fair.
Yeah.
Well, life is not fair, and you might as well get used to it, and you might as well learn how the Lord will help us navigate through these injustices. Joseph purposed in his heart to make the best out of a bad situation. Heard an old crazy country song years ago, and this lady was talking to the doctor about her husband.
Uh-huh.
And she said he thinks he's a refrigerator.
Oh, no.
And the doctor said, well, he's not no refrigerator.
Uh-oh.
She said, well, I don't know, Doc, but when he opens his mouth, a little light comes on. And then, anyhow, one of them said, well, just make the best you can out of a bad situation.
That's it, boy.
But anyhow, with God's help, bad situations can have glorious results.
They can. That's true.
And we're going to see that's what Joseph's life did and what we can do. But right now, in this lesson, he's sitting in the jailhouse. He's innocent, but he's going to do the best he can. I want us to study today that. Michael, in a moment, he'll read the scripture, and I'm going to pray for us and for the lesson right now. Father, we're just human beings. We've been called to preach the gospel and to carry the name of Jesus as far as our world will allow us to do so, in whatever method we can do it. And God, along the way, I've discovered that I've run in, as everybody else has, to situations that were not fair. They were unjust. But Lord, at those times, we can throw up our hands and quit, or we can get sour on the world.
Yes, Lord.
And lose our testimony.
That's true.
Or we can just say, Lord, in spite of it all,
right,
I'm going to serve you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to please you with your help. Help us to say that today in our heart.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, for that one that's lost without Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
They know, they've heard of Jesus, but they never have come to you in childlike faith and say, God, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed and that I am committing.
Yes,
and I do believe that you died for me on the cross of Calvary. There's too much evidence that you died and were resurrected. I could not deny that.
Yes.
And I'm asking you to forgive my sins and come into my heart right
praise
now.
Praise you, Lord. Praise.
And we'll praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay,
amen.
Brother Mike,
amen.
We're going to study the rewards for the faithfulness of God. The rewards of faithfulness to God.
There we go. In Genesis, again, we're still in chapter 39 from last week. Genesis 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
So, what does it mean, and what is mercy, Mike?
Well, mercy is getting what you don't deserve. Yeah, getting what you don't deserve.
Yeah.
And injustice is sometimes
getting what you don't deserve.
So
well, the mercy part is the good things we get we don't deserve.
That's right.
And the injustice are the bad things that we don't deserve.
That's right. That's right.
But you had it right all along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we think about the grace of God, I was thinking about this the other day. I was counseling with a young man that's having some marital problems. And, you know, I tried to get him to see the mercy of God, but he was wanting to be so, I don't know, hard shelled, I don't know. But anyway, I never could get him to understand it. So I've been in the message for, or the lesson for today, I'm thinking, how can I get him to see that? And maybe this will be a good lesson to use. But he just thinks that things are so, you know, he's just getting such a raw deal and all the things are so bad and all of that. If we focus on those circumstances,
oh, yeah,
then we get in trouble. If we focus on God in spite of the circumstances, there's never a place where you are that God is not there.
That's right.
Saved or lost. Now listen, you may be lost. You say, well, I'm not a Christian, but God is still there. And he's still waiting to hear you pray the prayer of repentance and belief in Christ. But the Lord was with Joseph. I see that in that verse 21. Even in a stinking dark prison,
right. The
Lord is right there with Joseph. No matter what justice or injustice you're going through, the mercy of God is there. God is there with you. He's in the boat. You don't have to wonder or worry or be yourself concerned because the Lord is right there. And you may think that things are all so bad and God's got his eyes closed, he's not paying me any attention. That is not true. Satan wants you to think that, but that's not true. God is right there with you. And we see there's two things here. The Lord's with Joseph there, and the Lord shows him mercy. You know, when I hear how in the world is God showing Joseph mercy because he got him into prison for something he didn't do? Why didn't God just wipe that old heifer off the map and cause her to have a stroke and fall dead or something?
Now tell about that old heifer.
Well, she's Potiphar's wife, who day after day just worried the hound out of Joseph. And our old southern lingo, it would say she wore him out, wanting him to sleep with her. And then she finally grabbed him one day, and Joseph, running away, left his coat or a piece of clothing in her hand because he had to get out of it to get away from her. And she used that as proof that he had been with her, but he hadn't. But anyway, you know, you look at that and you think, well, why in the world? But if you study the rest of Joseph's story, you'll find out why.
Right.
And everything comes together for you. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with you. It don't make no difference. Satan will tell you, this ain't fair, this ain't right, you don't deserve this. Listen, what I don't deserve for God to even know who I am.
Amen.
Or that I exist.
Amen.
I got burned many years ago, back in 1978, 40 years ago. And I can tell you for a fact, it was awful. It was horrible. And you know, there was many, many, many times that it was just almost unbearable. But the Lord was always right there. Why did God let that happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can tell you a lot of things since then that have happened because that happened. There would be some examples of why God let that happen. But I still can't say I know, you know, because I don't.
Right.
The fulfillment of it all won't be until I get to heaven. And there I don't really see where it'll make a whole lot of difference. But I can say the Lord was right there when that fire belched out on my body and burned me over 70% of my body. God was right there. He was right there in the hospital when all of the horrible scrubbing downs in the tank would happen. He was right there. He was right there all through it, every bit of it, every pain, every bit of the suffering, everything that I went through. And God showed me mercy. He showed me wonderful mercy. And he gave me favor in his sight. I know that. And so I love him for that. I do. There's never been a day when I can even look back 1 second on all of that and say, why me, Lord?
Yeah.
If I do, it's why, Lord, did you even know I existed? Mm-hmm. I had one sweet lady, loved me a lot, bless her heart. And she drove all the way from Reform to Birmingham. Took her a couple hours to get there. And she came up to see me and she said, I just don't understand why God let this happen to you. And all I could say was, I don't understand why God even knows this happened to me. But he did, and he was right there with me. Every time they did a skin graft, it took. The doctor said 50% would have been a great, you know,
percentage.
Nope, it was every single time.
Amen.
And instead of being in the hospital for a year, I was in the hospital 2 months. I was home. I was back in the pulpit in less than 6 months after that happened, still preaching the gospel.
Amen.
So, hey.
And more powerfully than ever.
So, come on, Lord. We got a life together. Let's live it to the fullest. I mean, there's, you know, what's going on. I don't know what's tomorrow going to hold. You know, you got that lung problem. I've got lung problems. We could just wail and moan about,
right.
Why me, Lord? Why?
Right.
This ain't fair. Well, you know, it wasn't fair that I sinned against God, and
no.
That's what caused death to come into my life. So I'm with you, Lord. You just go right ahead.
And my lung problem is nothing compared to what Jesus suffered.
Nothing compared. That's a fact. That is a fact.
And he had never one time sinned in any way and hated sin, but he loved the sinner. That's what's so wonderful about my precious Jesus. I don't understand that kind of love.
No.
You know, most times we love people, but and I hope there's people in my life that I love without strings attached to it.
Oh, yeah, don't we all?
But we're so prone to have some kind of strings attached.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
When sometimes we talk about we love banana pudding.
Oh, I do. Yes, I do.
But then I get feeling ashamed that I said that when I think about what love really is from God's standpoint.
Yeah.
But now, don't misunderstand me. If you got a box big enough to send two pieces up here to Reform or Gordo, you send them on.
Bring it on.
But life is, God never promised us a rose garden.
No,
and
no,
he
no.
never promised us an ice cream party. He said we're to put on the armor of God.
That's what he said.
And and folks that wear armor get hurt and they suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes their life. So listen, don't get caught up on this thing of thinking that you don't deserve what you're getting. Maybe you don't, but yet I deserve all that's happened to me. And plus a whole lot more.
Oh, no.
I deserve eternity in hell is what I deserve.
Well, I do too. But the beauty of these lessons as we study these guys' lives, the beauty is that you can see as plain as day that even through the ups and downs, the bad stuff that Joseph was going through, being sold into slavery by his brothers, being thrown into prison unjustly, God had a plan for Joseph's life. Isn't
Amen.
That amazing? And it's amazing.
And he had a plan for your life, even. You know, I'm not going to say, now, God, you could have done that a different way. I'm not God.
No, absolutely not. And who knows?
And I, the asthma that I've had and the other troubles that I've had, I'm not God.
That's right. Who knows whose life has been affected in a way by
and
the Lord.
And I cannot say, God, I didn't deserve this.
No. And wouldn't say it by no means, because it wouldn't be true. The Lord had a plan for Joseph, and he's got a plan for your life. If you're hearing us today, it's not an accident that you're hearing us.
That's right.
God had a divine appointment with you to listen to this message today. And what you're hearing right now, God wanted you to hear. Therefore, he put it on the radio and put you in front of the radio to hear it. God's got a plan for your life too.
This is your time.
You may be going through some difficulties. You may even be going through some injustice.
Yeah.
You know, and it ain't fair. Well, yes, it is. Only because God's going to use it for your good and for His glory. So let it be. That's what Romans 8:28 says. For we know all things, the good, the bad, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Right.
He has a purpose for your life. I've heard so many times, well, the preacher is the only person that's called of God. Let me tell you something. You are called of God for whatever purposes He has for your life. Now, if you want to flitter around and fiddle around and not ever accomplish anything, you can make that choice. You can. But if you'll get in God's will, if you'll get on your knees and commit yourself to the Lord and His work, He will use you. He will open up the doors of heaven and bless you like He is. Joseph, listen to this. Joseph is in prison, but the Lord was with him. Joseph was in prison, but the Lord showed him mercy. Joseph was in prison, and God was still using him.
God was still there with him.
No matter what circumstance you're in your life, God's still with you too.
And you can see that in that 21st verse. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph, by his conduct, if he'd been screaming and cussing and banging on the wall and going on hunger strikes in the prison, would he have made a favorable impression to the keeper of the prison?
I dare say the keeper of the prison would not have been impressed at all with that.
And more than likely, Joseph would have suffered some additional punishment and discipline.
No doubt.
But he determined, he purposed in his heart that he was going to serve God and be the best he could be in prison.
He intentionally put his life in God's hand.
Right.
And that's amazing. Yep. We got a scripture in here from Romans chapter 5 in our Sunday school book that says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let me tell you what, that means a lot.
Amen.
If you as a Christian will apply to your life, tough times, still God is even greater. God is even stronger. And the love of God is shed abroad by us because sometimes of our tribulations and the unfair treatments. That's okay. Go ahead. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. You got a purpose.
Right, your life would not be what it is right now if you've gone through bad times like the burns that Mike talked about he went through. Some of you are going through cancer and you're going through maybe diabetes and you've lost a foot or a leg or a hand or an eye, something along that line. But I'm going to tell you something. If you will be faithful in those times of suffering. I get tickled of those two little boys on television from the Shriners. One of them, Alex, and what I think the other name, Alex. But anyhow, the younger one said, Alex said, I've had my 13th surgery. And Alex said, I've had 17.
There you go.
And he said, well, after all, you are a little older than me. But here they are, looking at those surgeries and not being hateful about it or not blaming people for it. They're accepting it and going on with life.
And we're thankful that, you know, that they had them, because that's what it took to bring them through. Yeah, that's amazing.
It is amazing. So God is not always doing you wrong. He never will do you wrong.
No.
That verse that Mike quoted to you out of Romans 8, it says that everything, Mike's burn How could that be? How could we say, for we know that Mike Hall's burn was for his good, and all things working together for his good? I don't know.
Neither do I.
And I'm glad I don't know the length and the depth and the width that God has used that.
Who knows? I mean,
if it matters, we'll know in heaven.
That's right.
If it don't matter, we don't care.
It won't matter. That's right. 43 years after it happened, I can give you a lot of illustrations of things that happened because of the burns that wouldn't have happened had it not been for the burns. But I still don't know the full story. I don't know the full story. What else happened along the way.
And I suspect that as great as those things are that you do know, there are greater things that have happened that you don't know.
In all likelihood. Yeah. There's other stories that
you don't know.
That I have not a clue.
But God, after all, I belong to Him, and if He wants to use me, however He wants to use me, I need to remember that I've been bought with a price bigger than any price I've ever paid.
That's right.
Anything I've ever paid. And so I'm hoping that I'll have the attitude of those two little boys on television about their surgeries, or other folks that have gone through things, have lost a leg or eye, arm, or Micah's lost. Can you imagine? I've got burned. We have a pastor's breakfast, and I was cleaning the grill where I had grilled the bacon.
Yeah.
And I didn't wait till it got cool.
Uh-oh.
And I touched that thing. And
That's not wise.
It smarted a little bit. And that was just a little spot on my finger.
I'm sure it did.
70% of your body?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. But I'll tell you what.
That's amazing.
When people see your attitude and your determination to serve God and preach the gospel and be a builder of His church, they have to be more impressed. Now, if I go and say, look, I'm telling y'all, I suffered with a little burn on my finger. I ain't going to impress many folks.
Well, it hurts, so still.
But they're going to say, you dummy, why'd you do that? But yours was an accident that, as far as you were concerned, could not avoid, because you'd been given the wrong information.
Absolutely. Had no idea that machine was still
alive. But nevertheless, God is being glorified, will be glorified.
He is.
And some old sinner somewhere said, you know, if I hadn't got burned, I'd have become a Christian.
Yeah.
And God's going to say, wait, look at my call.
That's right.
Look at my call. You think you burned worse than him?
Exactly.
And did he curse God and die?
Well, of course not.
No.
We.
Oh, my. Joseph, he impressed folks. Because he stuck with God, he stayed with God, he did what God wanted him to do. He just wanted to serve God and please God.
And that shows you in that part of the story, the captain of the guard was watching.
He was watching
Joseph, and he was impressed by what he saw. Chances are he wouldn't have paid Joseph a bit of attention if it hadn't been for something that Joseph did, something Joseph said. Day after day, he saw how Joseph handled himself, behaved himself, how he took everything in stride. You know, it's amazing to me.
It is me too.
But also, God got into the heart of the captain of the guard too, you know. So that, to me, is also amazing.
And Joseph got promoted while he was in the prison. And some of you saying, well, I didn't get promoted. Well, that may not be God's will. He may be doing more with your life than you think He is.
Amen.
And I know He is if you're trying to serve Him. And some little old lady that lives up in the Smoky Mountains and sees the postman, the only person she sees, but who knows that every time the new postman comes on, she witnesses him to him about the Lord. Her rewards may be greater than mine or some other preacher that's preached the gospel to the public and to
absolutely
churches. Because she did what she could do.
She did. That's right. And that's Joseph, all God asked.
And Joseph did what he could do. he went on and lived a godly life and treated the other prisoners fairly and illustrated to the warden of the prison that there was something different about him.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to say when they see my life. I want them to say, there's something different.
That's it.
And then that'll give me a chance to tell what's made the difference.
Tell them what's different. That's right. Right. That's right.
Well, we better go on, I guess. And God wants you to be what you ought to be. And you can be. He wouldn't ask you to be if you couldn't.
No, and he'll move heaven and earth if you'll submit your life to him. He'll move heaven and earth to fulfill his purposes for your life. So don't ever think that he's not watching or that he's not that he doesn't care. He cares. His face is toward you. In Genesis chapter 40 now, and we'll start reading at verse 8. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you.
Okay. So, even in prison, and whatever your prison is, we don't know, but there are opportunities, even in your prison, of injustice. We don't know what that is. You may have been charged with a crime. You may be listening to us from a prison cell, and you know you didn't do what you were convicted of. Well, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to deal with that? Do you know that God may have put you in there next to somebody who could, if they would accept the Lord Jesus, become a great witness for him, a great preacher? Or perhaps if they were to turn their life over to God, became a great doctor and found a cure for cancer.
And who knows?
Who knows?
Yep.
Opportunities, though.
And a whole lot of those things you may never know.
No.
You know, you may have that influence on them, and God's purpose for them still happens, and you don't have to know. Don't even require to know. Just go ahead, do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Submit yourself to him and allow his purposes to be fulfilled. Don't worry about the results. They're in his hands, not yours.
Right.
I know I have beat myself up a lot of times, and probably you have too, Herschel, over people that by the life they live, you just know they're not saved.
Yeah.
And you want them to get saved so bad, and you witness to them, and you develop a relationship with them. You try your best to get them to see the Lord, but they don't, and you get frustrated, and you feel like, well, you know, maybe I should have done something else. Maybe I should have done. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Do the best you can, and keep on trucking. That's the way I put it. As I tell a lot of folks a lot of times, keep your plow in the ground.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the results. The results are God's
That's
business.
Right.
You don't have to worry about the outcome. There are going to be people in hell who knew you in this life and you weren't able to reach them. That's
right.
Going to happen.
Yeah.
So accept that. But now that don't give you an excuse to slack off and not try. But it's not your job to save them.
Right.
It's your job to show them Jesus. You're the candlestick. You're not the flame. Jesus.
That's right.
Is the light. You show the light and then let God do the rest. That's what old Joseph was doing here. He wouldn't build it himself up. He was just living for the Lord, doing the best he knew how.
And giving God the credit for it.
And giving God the credit.
My brother-in-law, who's a great, great man of God too, and a preacher, great preacher, when he first went to the little church He pastored a little church in Hale County, and some years later I pastored that same church. But on Sunday, when he'd get through preaching, and nobody, and by the way, the church probably had 19 to 25 members in it.
Yeah.
And when they got through preaching and nobody came for salvation, he'd just cry and cry. And there was an old deacon. He was blind. He sat in the amen corner. And he'd go to my brother-in-law and put his arm around his shoulder and said, "Brother Herman, don't cry like that." Said, if they'd have been here, they'd have got saved. Or if they were already saved, they'd have come and changed their lives.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
No, we don't
know. We get through, and my heart breaks sometimes when, when people don't come. And as best I can see from the evidence of their life, they need to.
Amen.
And my heart just breaks. But maybe I need to hear what Brother Chandler said. If they'd have been here, they'd have got saved.
That's right, they'd have got saved. That's
or
right.
They'd have been here and they'd have listened, they'd have changed their life. So you go on and look for those opportunities. And if you don't see them, just keep on being faithful to God anyhow. And God will make your life and your testimony fit the opportunities. It was unusual.
Yep.
In the manner that it all happened. It happened through the dreams of two of the other prisoners. Share a little bit about that, Mike.
Well, the dream came in the same night. So you got to know that's not just coincidence, okay? And so each one, the butler and the baker for the king of Egypt, had the same dream. And old Joseph said, "Tell it to me." He said, they've got to have a meaning. Joseph was convinced. He said, "Listen, tell me what the dream is, and God's got a reason for it. Who knows what God's up to? But God, why didn't God give the dream to Joseph?" No, it was all about Joseph. It was about Joseph doing what Joseph's supposed to do. Now, you take it from there.
Okay. Well, of course, the dreams were now. As Mike said, they were butler and the baker, and the dreams is after they were interpreted. Well, by the way, this was on Pharaoh's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was. That's right.
And so Joseph just took Pharaoh's birthday to bring to pass those dreams, and the dreams were when he got through interpreting them. The dreams were that one of them was going to be restored, and one of them was going to be killed.
Yeah,
and
can you imagine? I mean, the guy's going to be restored. Wow, that's wonderful.
Hey, tell it, Joseph.
Boy, what if I'm that guy's going to be killed? Hey, Joseph,
you got that thing
all
wrong.
Let's get on our knees again.
Yeah, let's try this over again here. But. You know, through somebody that you don't even know how in the world this could make any difference. These fellows are just like Joseph. They're in the prison. Now, give us a little description about the prison. What would a prison been kind of like Motel 6?
Oh, no. No, when I was in Israel, we went and looked at one of the prisons, and of course, they said this was one that maybe Paul had been put in, whether he had or not, I don't know. But it was an amazing thing to see, because it literally was a hole in the ground. But it was shaped like a golf ball, I mean, or a bowling ball or something, down under the ground, so that it was just a round hole down under there. And they let you down in there from the top. There's a hole in the top. They let you down in there through the hole in the top, and that's it. You're just in that hole. They'd let your food down through there, and it was just a horrible situation.
Well,
the
how
prison
did they,
would have been horrible.
How did they keep the commodes flushing and all?
There weren't no commodes to flush. They would have a
shower?
There was no shower. It was just rats and other things was in there with it. The prison in those times was nobody cared how bad the prisoners were treated. Now, I don't know exactly what the prison might have been shaped like or looked like. There was some interaction among them, whether they was in the same hole, same cell together, or they were somewhere where they could communicate.
Well, they probably were some bigger holes in there.
Yeah, ground. I'm sure. But it was a terrible, terrible place to be. And it was not a place where you could, you know, would have any sanitary conditions at all.
So you were treated worse than an animal.
You were lower than an animal as far as they were concerned. You didn't deserve anything but the worst of the worst.
Okay, so I don't know what the Butler and Baker got put in prison for. One of them must have been pretty serious.
He got hung for it.
Baker did.
Yeah.
The old Butler got restored to his duties. But regardless, they were down there too. They were of the elite class. So there's some folk walking around that knows President Biden or whoever our next president will be. You might run into them in a bad situation in your life. Suppose you're driving along and you have an accident. You jump out of your car, run up there to the other person and begin to yell at them and scream at them and might even let a cuss word or two out.
He might do it.
And then you find out later that they could have, or you may never find out.
Right.
But it is possible if you acted right and Christ-like, it could have made an impression on their life.
Yeah.
And they might have a contact with a high official
right.
or somebody like that.
That's right.
And make a difference with them.
Yep.
Or they may have a contact with a young man still trying to struggle to find out what God wants from his life, and God wants him to preach.
Yeah.
And they tell about how you acted in a godly manner, and it impresses them. I do know that Joseph's life was such that people knew that he cared for them. What did he do when he saw them looking sad? How come he even noticed them looking sad?
Because he cared. It mattered to him. He didn't just look at them with his own pitiful eyes of looking at his own self. He saw these other guys suffering and hurting, and he realized that, you know, something was going on with them that, you know, they were struggling with, they were having a hard time with, and so he cared about that, and he asked about that. You know, to me, one of the last places, God's amazing the way he knows and does things. But one of the last places I would have gone, if I wanted to have some influence with the president, which the Pharaoh is the same as the president.
Right.
So if I wanted to have influence with the president, I wouldn't say, well, I'm going to go over here to this prison and see if I can find... my word, that's the last place I would go. But yet God knew there was a connection, there was a thread there. And he used Joseph's concern for these guys because he saw the hurt on their face. He heard maybe them talking about their concerns over these dreams they had. And wow, he said, tell me about it. You know, well, what's Joseph going to be able to do about it? He's a prisoner too. But he cared. And because he cared, then they listened. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
That's exactly right.
They're waiting to hear you. You tell them about what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to impress them with your theological knowledge of the Bible or all. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Only you can do that. Nobody else can. You're the only one that's got your testimony. So tell them, and tell them in love. Joseph really genuinely cared about these guys.
He did.
And they saw that. They felt that. And so with a caring heart, he went and talked to them.
Yeah, he could have done like a lot of folks do. If they see somebody that looks like they have a need, and they'll cross the street and go on the other side.
That's right.
So they don't have to see them.
I don't want to get involved. That ain't none of my business. I've got enough problems of my own. Well, Joseph certainly did. He had plenty of problems of his own, all right. but he saw the injustice in them. He saw the hurt in their eyes. And if I can do something, I will.
And if you really care for people, or you want to care and ask God to give you a caring heart, he will. And you'll be amazed at the opportunities that you'll have. You may not have $1 million to give to them, but maybe what they need is just somebody to give them a hug and a word of encouragement. Maybe what they need is just to hear that Jesus cared and that he died for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joseph didn't go to these old boys and say, "Hey, boys, you know, I've dreamed dreams and I know about dreams and I'm a real smart guy and I can probably figure this thing out for you." He said, "No, God has the answer."
That's right.
God has the answer. And that's what people need to hear from you.
God needs for you to lift God up. Don't lift yourself up.
Absolutely.
But lift up God. And people will see that, and they will know that, and they'll know you do care. When he asked them, why are you so sad? He really wanted to know.
He did. Yeah. There was a reason.
They had every reason for being sad.
That's right.
Down there where they were in the hole in the ground, or wherever it was.
Right.
Everybody, Joseph had a reason to be sad down there too. He was there innocent. But he, instead of being sad, he chose that moment to be of service to God. And I think that's what God wants to is for us to care enough about people that we're willing to go out of our way if we have to, or maybe spend a little of our money if we have to help. I don't believe I can win anybody to Christ if I pass their house and see their little kids ragged and hungry looking, and you say, "Well, they're not any of them anymore." Yes, they are.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
Sure, yeah, they are. And a mama that don't know how she's going to pay the electric bill this month, or during this COVID thing, the all the suffering that's being done. If you want to serve God, and you just open your eyes, and you'll see some sadness, and you'll see some needs.
Right. Yeah. The opportunity is definitely there.
Oh, yes.
It is definitely. All right, we're getting close. Let's go to Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, and get this last scripture in right quick.
You got to.
Genesis chapter 40, verse 20. It came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Injustice again.
Yep. It is indeed, but Joseph didn't say, "Well, I ain't going to pray for you."
That's right. That's right.
You didn't give me no credit. I ain't going to pray for you.
I prayed for you one time, old boy. You got what we prayed for, but here you are.
On the birthday, and I got a little ahead of myself there.
That's all right.
But on the birthday, he made a feast to all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Now, the dream that they had was quite interesting. One dream involved the butler's dream involved a cluster of grapes that could be squeezed and served to the king. And Joseph interpreted that dream to mean that in 3 days, the king would restore this servant to his position. The baker's dream had to do with bread for the king that the birds had stolen away. Joseph interpreted this dream to mean the baker would be executed.
And indeed he was.
And that's the one you were talking about where it's been hard to look him in the eye and say,
yeah.
"Oh boy, I got some bad news for you."
Yeah.
You think it's bad now, but it's worse coming.
Yes.
Worse coming. But Joseph admitted, "What I tell you did not come from my ability." When we were in the hospital with my daughter, and she had a terrible head injury, and this had been 7 years ago, and so we were gathered around, 16 of us, between two elevators, two sets of elevators on the eighth floor. And we prayed. And then there was a voice that I didn't recognize said, "Amen." And it was a young girl that was between 12 and 14 years old, I would judge.
Yeah.
Just judging. And she said, "The moment y'all started praying, God healed her." Well, 5 minutes before I saw her, and she wasn't healed.
Uh-huh.
She was bloody, beat up. I would not have even recognized her.
Yeah.
My own daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, "But you got to believe." And I said, "Oh, how can I?
Yeah.
How can I believe? 5 minutes ago, I saw her, and you just said God healed her." And I thought to myself, and then I said it aloud, "I will believe."
Yeah.
I didn't know God's going to have to help me, but I will believe. She walked off and then came back, and we'd sat down by some windows there on that eighth floor right by the elevator. And she walked right in front of each one of us and pointed her finger at us and said, "Just believe. Just believe." She walked back about 50 feet from us or so and vanished.
Wow.
I went later up there to see where could she have
gone.
Where
did she go? Yeah.
There wasn't a place she could have gone except to go on the journey. God had her another
That's
mission,
it.
No doubt.
That's it, no doubt.
She was God's angel. But I said, those words that you've spoken when you said she was healed are mighty, mighty comforting words that you've spoken. I said, "No, wait a minute. That wasn't my words.
Uh-huh.
Those were God's words."
Right.
Amen.
So
Joseph didn't try to take credit.
That's right.
He didn't. He could have said, "Now listen, guys, I tell you what, you got a folks back home, they got $1,000 in the bank, and I'll interpret this for you." No, he said, "This is God. This is all of God." And so when he did, he told them what was going to happen. And Mark was absolutely right. When the days came, 3 days later, the very thing that Joseph said God was going to tell him and God had told him came to pass. He said, "One of you, the butler, you're going to be restored back to your job." Now, he may have been in there for injustice, too. I don't know. I don't know what his charges were and what he was convicted of. He may have been in there. He may have had an injustice in his life. And the baker, "You're not going to make it." And we said a while ago, "You're going to be executed. You're going to be executed." And so 3 days later, is it true? Does Joseph have that kind of ability from God? Sure enough, it's proven.
Right.
3 days later, it comes to pass. And the butler gets put back on the job. And the baker gets executed. Listen, you can trust God. Take his word sometimes. Take his word all the time. And read it and see what God's saying about a situation. It's been amazing to me, Mike, down through the years, when I've had troubles and problems, and I'd go to the Bible, how God would take me
to certain
very scripture. Yeah. That answered my question.
Absolutely.
And brought joy to my heart and brought a satisfaction in my life. God's still waiting on his people to come and to serve him. If it's at a prison cell, wherever it may be, you serve God there. That's your opportunity. That's your place to serve him.
Take God at his word. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way to the end of the age." He's going to be there.
And he said, "I'll put into your mouth the very words that you need to speak." Man, have I seen that come true in my life.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought I had me a good message planned. And God just tore it up.
Amen.
And preached when it was I supposed to preach.
Happened to me a couple of weeks ago.
Well, it happened to me pretty often. But I'm glad. At first I didn't understand it, but it'll sure keep you humble.
Indeed, it will.
On God. So you do that. If you're not a Christian, please, today, call on him to forgive your sin. If you are a Christian, recommit your life to Him today. Join us next week right back here for another good study in God's Word.